This is Sustainable Long Island, and I'm Francesca Rhiannon. New York State's Climate Leadership and Community Protection Act was signed into law in July of 2019. In the waning days of 2022, the final plan for its implementation was released by the state-appointed Climate Action Council. As we've reported before on this program, the Act aims to drastically reduce greenhouse gas emissions and promote the use of renewable energy sources. But fossil fuel interests, the gas industry in particular, have been running a massive disinformation campaign about the Act, spreading false and misleading claims about its potential costs and impacts in an attempt to sow doubt and delay its implementation. Critics argue that the industry is prioritizing profits over the health of the planet and the well-being of New York communities. The disinformation campaign is especially targeting plans to electrify new building construction. Buildings are the largest emitters of fossil fuel emissions in the state, comprising 32% of the total. That's because most buildings are heated by gas, propane, or oil. And a majority of New Yorkers use gas to cook their food, despite the fact that gas stoves emit dangerous levels of pollutants in the home. Among the bills currently being proposed to implement the climate law, the gas utilities are fighting laws to mandate electrification in new buildings, to end millions in subsidies that ratepayers pay utilities every year to build out new gas lines, and to make it easier for the state to support low- and moderate-income families to transition to clean energy for heating and cooling. This week, we spoke to Dr. Anshul Gupta of the Climate Reality Project about the fossil fuel industry's disinformation campaign. The Climate Reality Project was founded by former U.S. Vice President Al Gore and trains climate reality leaders to work for just climate solutions. Full disclosure, I'm the co-chair of the Climate Reality Project's Long Island chapter. Here's my conversation with Dr. Anshul Gupta. Anshul Gupta, welcome to Sustainable Long Island.
Thank you for having me.
Now, you are known in the New York climate movement as the maven of knowledge about the massive disinformation campaign currently being waged by the fossil fuel industry to stop New York from putting its 2019 climate law into effect. Now, it was passed, but it took until the end of 2022 to finally get the scoping plan, the plan by the Climate Action Council, which was appointed by the state to operationalize the law, to come out with their scoping plan. And that's the guiding document for implementing the law. You have penned op-eds in major papers, including Newsday and the New York Daily News, USA Today, and elsewhere. What motivated you to get into this aspect of climate protection?
Interesting question. So my son actually started seeing these ads from a front group called Smarter New York Energy, essentially lying about heat pumps. And this was even before I had heard of the CLCPA. So I think that was a big motivation to actually look into the disinformation campaign, start looking into the disinformation campaigns by the fossil fuel industry, and to basically try and expose them. And this, when we live in a comfortable all-electric home powered by heat pumps, and it was infuriating that my children were being targeted with lies telling them that heat pumps don't work in cold weather.
And how was he seeing these? Where were they showing up?
On YouTube.
On YouTube. Ah, right. So, and he's about 14, is that right?
He was around 16 when this happened.
And certainly one who is going to be facing the ravages of climate chaos even more than old folks like you and I, although we'll face it too. Now, For USA Today, you wrote an op-ed that was titled, "The Gas Industry is Trying to Sway Critical New York Climate Policy. Here's Why." So why is it? Why are they trying to sway critical New York climate policy?
For many reasons. One, burning fossil fuels in our buildings is the biggest source of emissions in New York State, which indirectly implies that we burn a lot of fossil fuels in our buildings. And this is a threat to the business of the fossil fuel industry, and they would like to see the regulations rolled back or delayed. Then New York's climate law was indeed nation-leading when it passed in 2019, and the fossil fuel industry does not want New York State to succeed and set a precedent for other states to copy. Also, if we prohibit fossil fuels in new construction, New York State would be the first state to do so legislatively. Other states like Washington State have already done that. There are about 101 cities and municipalities in the U.S. that have done that. But New York State will be the first state to do it legislatively. And because of all these precedents that the fossil fuel industry doesn't want to see, they are vehemently trying to stop New York from making progress.
Now tell us, what are the stakes? What will happen if they are able to stop, for example, the All-Electric Building Act? Now, that did not pass in the last legislative session, but it's up again and it's looking stronger, although, of course, we don't know what will happen until the final vote is taken. And as you say, buildings are the largest source of emissions in New York State. I believe it's around 32%, which is huge. So what are the stakes? How important is the climate law to New York communities? And what would happen if its mandated goals are delayed?
So as you mentioned, buildings have a huge impact. And that 32% contribution to the state's greenhouse gas emissions that you quoted is most likely an underestimate. Newer research is suggesting that the building's contribution could be as close to 40%, mostly because of methane leaks. And methane is an extremely potent greenhouse gas and a primary component of what the industry sells us as natural gas for heating and cooking in our homes. So any delay in prohibiting fossil fuels in new construction obviously will have a big impact on our ability to meet our climate goals. But that's not all. It also has a huge health and economic impact. So there are recent studies that have shown that 19%, almost 19% of all childhood asthma in New York State, for example, is due to gas stoves. So every year's delay in the All-Electric Building Act means more homes coming up with fossil fuels, indoor combustion of fossil fuels, which means more childhood asthma cases. So now we have enough information to actually attribute a quantifiable amount of childhood asthma to a delay in all electric buildings. Similarly, on the cost side, gas hookups are given away for free to new customers. This is something that most New Yorkers are not aware of. And those costs are added on to everyone's gas delivery charges. So everyone is paying for the expansion of the fossil fuel infrastructure, gas infrastructure, which is completely unnecessary because new homes are cheaper to both build and operate without fossil fuels. So any delay basically just adds more liabilities to the rate base, and everyone will just end up paying more because of these delays.
And of course, the delays will also mean that they've been successful, as you pointed out before, in stopping the forward momentum of transitioning the whole country to a clean energy future. Now, what are some of the myths that the gas industry is promoting? I mean, you mentioned gas stoves. You know, I've seen them put out propaganda that, you know, the government is coming to take away your gas stoves. And last year, when the All Electric Building Act was up in the legislature, they were telling people that this meant that every household would have to pay $20,000 to put in an electrified system, whereas the law only applied to new building, not to old buildings. So we know those are some of the myths, but you kind of boil them down into three areas: affordability, reliability, and the grid isn't ready. That's the third one I put, although that might actually be under reliability. So just tell us, what are some of the myths?
So their myths tend to keep evolving. They start with certain myths and then advocates successfully bust those myths, they can come up with new ones. So first of all, my advice to your listeners would be to not believe anything that comes from the fossil fuel industry. And one example of this was that recently there was a massive historic blizzard in Buffalo. Dozens of people died, and the fossil fuel industry bounced on that and used that as an opportunity to fearmonger against electrification, because there were power failures in Buffalo, and those power failures were caused by inadequately winterized substations from National Grid. So these were National Grid substations that were not adequately winterized that led to massive power failures in Buffalo. And now National Grid, as a part of another front group called New Yorkers for Affordable Energy, is basically using that to rile up opposition to electrification, saying that, hey, look, you all are going to freeze to death if there are power failures. So the myths keep evolving. And you're right, they started with saying that our electrical grid cannot handle electrification, which is not true. And we know that they had planted this idea deeply into legislative offices, because whichever legislator we spoke to, everyone was basically repeating the same myths. So we know where that disinformation came from. So our electrical grid is actually stressed in the summer, and building electrification will mostly add to our winter load, because most of that energy is going to be used in heat pumps. So while our grid definitely needs investment, all electric new buildings will not be a reason for any loss of reliability of our power supplies. And on gas stoves, I'd like to add that research highlighting the health risks from gas stoves has been accumulating for decades. American Medical Association, American Lung Association, New York State Public Health Associates, the Asthma and Allergy Foundation of America, and all New York State chapters of the American Academy of Pediatrics deem gas stoves a health hazard, particularly as asthma triggers for children. But what happened was that a recent public statement by a U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commissioner, it just served to bring this long-standing issue into limelight that some saw as an opportunity to help spark an anti-electrification backlash. So you're right, the New York's Climate Scoping Plan recommends a prohibition on new gas stove installations after 2035 and only at the end of the life of an existing equipment. But the point we are missing here is that next decade, it's very likely that New Yorkers may want a gas stove as badly as they want lead paint or asbestos in their homes today, because I think more people will be aware of their dangers. And I don't know which parent would want to knowingly subject their children to the risk of asthma symptoms.
Right. And let's point out, too, there's been some research saying there's a link to heart disease and even dementia. So it isn't like grown-ups get a pass from these dangers. This is Francesca Rhiannon with Sustainable Long Island. I'm talking with Dr. Anshul Gupta of the Climate Reality Project about the massive disinformation campaign by the fossil fuel industry to slow or stop the implementation of New York's climate law. You know, it was very interesting. I saw a video that was put out somewhere about a pilot project in the Bronx, I believe it was. It was in a NYCHA housing, New York Public Housing. And a group of families were given the opportunity to use an induction stove instead of a gas stove. And they were promised that they would be given back their gas stoves at the end of the pilot project if they would like to get them back. Well, not one of the families wanted their old gas stove back. They all loved the induction, the electric induction stoves. So much for that myth. Now, who are the people? You mentioned New Yorkers for Affordable Energy. I think there's also the Consumer Energy Alliance. Are these AstroTurf organizations or are they real? Who's behind them?
So the Consumer Energy Alliance is a national astroturfing front group. They move from state to state, and I've not been tracking them a lot because they're not New York specific. New Yorkers for Affordable Energy is one of the worst front groups in New York State. It is funded by the American Petroleum Institute and a bunch of other gas companies, both pipeline operators, producers, as well as gas utilities like National Grid. And they are, yes, of course, they are an astroturfing front group. And they also, their tactics actually include essentially bullying the legislators. So last year, when they launched their campaign, they also came out with a press release saying that they were launching a six-figure campaign to oppose this legislation, basically to send the message to the legislators that, you know, don't touch this legislation with a 10-foot pole because we are coming after you. So they are extremely dangerous. They are very arrogant about what they do. They don't shy away from publicly admitting what they're doing. And they had a meeting, for example, with the Buffalo Niagara Manufacturing Alliance. And they told them they were so effective that last year, a legislator, an assembly member, called them up after just three robocalls and told them that, hey, we get your message and we'll essentially do what you say, stuff like that. So that's one group. Then there is another, I won't call it a group, it's essentially a website, Smarter New York Energy. It is funded mostly by the propane industry, but they're also getting a lot of funding from heating oil distributors and their trade associations. So they are the ones who run mostly social media ads and get people to click on those ads, and which generates letters to the governor and to the legislators opposing building electrification. And their ads just straight out lie. They just say that the grid can't handle electrification and you're going to have blackouts and people are going to freeze to death and your energy bills will skyrocket and heat pumps don't work. So these are the two main groups. And it's ironical because propane and heating oil are the most expensive ways of heating our homes. So anyone in New York State who switches from propane or heating oil to a heat pump-based systems will save a ton of money. They're going to save money today, even without the legislation. And these industries are scared of getting the word out about how much they are essentially fleecing their customers when their customers have the option of switching to healthier and cheaper heating today.
And about working, yeah, I've heard a lot of that propaganda from, you know, people I know say, oh, I heard that heat pumps don't work in cold climates. Well, you have a heat pump, you heat your house that way. Has it worked in our cold snaps? Have you had any problem?
No, I've not had any problems at all. And I have a ground source heat pump, and that heat pump exchanges heat from the ground, which is at a constant temperature. And the efficiency of a ground source heat pump does not depend on how cold it is outside. Air source heat pumps, they do become less efficient when it's extremely cold, but on an average, they still save money And cold climate heat pumps work easily until minus 10, minus 13, minus 15 degrees. But even if it gets colder than that, they have supplemental resistive heat, which makes them inefficient at extremely cold temperatures. But remember that those conditions happen fairly infrequently. Most of the time when we are heating our homes, the heat pumps are working just fine. So even if an air source heat pump consumes a little extra energy for a couple of hours on the coldest night of the week, on the whole, people would still save energy and save money with heat pumps in most of New York State.
And we should say that they're very popular in Maine, very popular in Canada, very popular in Northern Europe in the Scandinavian countries. So I don't think they would be so popular if they didn't work in cold climates.
Exactly.
So finally, you know, these companies just seem to have so much power. You know, they've been sending out notices to their ratepayers, getting the ratepayers all riled up to contact their legislators about this. I mean, I don't even know if that's legal. What can we do about this?
So yes, both these groups are operating in legal gray areas. It has just come to our attention that National Fuel used the customer information that they had because they are a monopoly and the customers are forced to give them their contact information. So National Fuel used that information to robocalls in Buffalo, once again, exploiting the storm for their financial gains. And in these robocalls, they scared their customers about electrification and instructed them to directly reach their legislators. They even provided the means through these robocalls. They told them, hey, dial one, and you'll be connected to your assembly member and just tell your legislator that you are calling them to oppose building electrification and things like that. Our Public Service Commission should look into that. They issued a statement that this is their First Amendment right. And as long as they're not using customer funds to do this, it might be okay. I personally am very disturbed by this statement from the Public Service Commission. These customers are the captive audience of these utilities. They don't have a choice but to give them their personal information. And it's being blatantly exploited to rally opposition to New York State's climate law. The propane people are doing something similar. They are sending this bill insert that's called Propane Matters in New York. And since they have access to all their customers, they can put these bill inserts and put a lot of propaganda and disinformation in these bill inserts and get their customers to then contact their legislators to oppose the climate law.
Well, we are so glad that we have you, Anshul Gupta, Dr. Anshul Gupta, to counteract this disinformation. We will link to more information that you have on the gaslighting of the gas industry, how the gas industry is gaslighting New Yorkers, as well as links to some of your op-eds. Thank you so much for talking with us here on Sustainable Long Island. The fight continues.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Dr. Anshul Gupta of the Climate Reality Project. I'm Francesca Rhiannon, and this is Sustainable Long Island. We have one more segment for you on this episode. During my conversation with Dr. Gupta, I mentioned a video I'd seen about a study in the Bronx that gave electric induction stoves to some of the residents of a New York public housing building. The study, which was done by the organization We Act for Environmental Justice, replaced gas stoves in 10 intervention apartments, while 10 control apartments retained their gas stoves. The results showed significant reductions in indoor air pollution in those homes that used the induction stoves over those that used gas stoves. Here's the audio to the YouTube video from We Act for Environmental Justice called Out of Gas, In with Justice, with my translations where the residents are speaking Spanish.
Out of Gas, In with Justice is a pilot program making a health-centered case for electrification in affordable housing.
This project began because New York is starting a pathway towards a massive decarbonization and electrification of our buildings. Buildings are the number one source of greenhouse gas emissions, and greenhouse gas emissions is what's causing our climate crisis.
Our study monitored improvements to air quality in 20 apartments, 10 of which received induction stoves at the beginning of the pilot. The improvements that we measured were pretty remarkable.
We're really excited to find that the participants in this study have been happy with their new induction stoves, that they're cooking more efficiently, and they feel that they are safer for people long term.
Mi nombre es Ángela Norales. Antes de ese proyecto yo no sabía nada de la estufa.
My name is Ayana Kai Sutton. We cook everything with our stove. Chicken, seafood, rice. We love to bake cookies, cake, all that good stuff.
Mi nombre es María Legel. A mí me gusta cocinar de todo.
I'm Mary Rivera, and this is my daughter,
Franchelli Reyes.
We're in the Bronx, 1471 Watson Avenue.
What I like about it definitely probably has to be the fact that it's less pollution that comes out the stove. I have a 5-year-old son that lives with me, so anything that's going to put us in good health, I'm all down for.
This is the best thing that's ever happened to me in my life, because once I had to go to the ER because I had a gas leak, and it caused me so many problems that at one point they had to bring me to the ER. So now I feel a lot safer with this electric stove.
I
definitely noticed the difference. I have asthma, and I didn't know that the gas stove was contributing to it, because like in the summer we didn't open the windows. And then I found out that the gas contribute to asthma and a lot of health risks. But now I have no cough. I have no, I don't feel congested like before.
For a long time, I had a lot of chest pain, and I went to a lot of doctors and specialists, and they found absolutely nothing. I've just had this stove for a little while, but in that time I've had no chest pain at all, which means to me there was some gas in the air. It cooks really fast and it stays clean. The oven is totally divine. I would recommend this stove to everyone. Everyone should be given this electric stove. And forget the gas ones.
With my induction stove, it's never having the worry of you leaving the gas on, going to sleep with the gas on. It's a lot safer.
Once they get it, they won't regret it.
That was a video from We Act for Environmental Justice. Out of Gas, In with Justice. Thanks for listening to Sustainable Long Island. We heard my conversation with Dr. Anshul Gupta of the Climate Reality Project. Information about the project is at climaterealityproject.org. Information about New York's climate law is at sustainableeastend.blogspot.com for July of 2022, and you can find all our programs archived there. Sustainable Long Island is produced by Tony Ernst, and yours truly, Francesca Rhiannon.